up top, we're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top, we're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. I'm delighted to be joined this week by Woke Boas, COH, Cole, Conor O'Hanlon, joining me here today. Cole, how are you getting on? You made it back alive from Derry. The last time I seen you, there was men bursting through the turnstiles to get out of the stadium. And I tried to get my lift home and use our part of the march of the bug side back to safety is what I assume.
Yeah, we did a long walk back to the bus. Felt like it was never going to end. So yeah, good, Jordo. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, just trying to come back down to earth after Friday, to be honest. It was all of it surreal.
Yeah, it was hard to explain. And, you know, I say looking around, like I think looking around the league and how everyone responded and, you know, there is only really one place to start. I think the football will probably take backseat in this conversation for a little bit here now while we discuss the events that unfolded on the bog side and the Brandywell, particularly after the game. I suppose to give a bit of context to it all, this is probably being something you'd agree, Conor, that's been brewing on the Brandywell for quite some time.
Well, yeah, it's kind of been a pattern this season, unfortunately, isn't it? And I feel like I should probably say before we start anything, like, Derry to me has always been my favourite away since I started going up there now years ago. Like, it's always been a great city to go up to. I've got family up there, they usually go meet them after the game or whatnot, if we can see. It's always been a great away. But yeah, it just seems to be a bit of a pattern this year of different fan bases. And you could see them kind of chatting online and stuff after Friday that it was all a bit like, felt like it was coming to a boil as opposed to a one-off kind of freak incident, unfortunately. Yeah, it was all a bit surreal, like being up there and trying to get home and stuff like that. It was certainly nothing that you would recommend to new fans at the League of Ireland to go to the area away. Like, it certainly wasn't as cheerleaders for the league. It wasn't a great advertisement. Like,
I know I wasn't on the island last year, but even the year before that, I think it's been coming that way from the Derby side of things in terms of, I think they referred to them as the Hoods up north, as Kneecap would say, but even online they're referring to them as the Hoods. But I think it's been probably coming the last couple of years and it just seems to have probably hit tipping point, or I should imagine we probably hope that it's probably escalated as much as it's going to now at this stage.
Yeah, you'd kind of hope that how like high profile the incident was on Friday, that's kind of the straw that broke the camel's back in the kind of sense. I don't know. Literally, about an hour before we start recording here, the two clubs released a joint statement, and Derry City did acknowledge that steps are being taken to kind of improve the match day experience, if you want to call it that, of the away fans. So you'd hope that it is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, as I said, and that things are going to move forward now in a positive light. Because again, like, if you're looking at the incidents, well, there's been a few this season, but especially the one on Friday, which I think was far more than any of the others. You wouldn't be bringing your young kids or like people to that game. That like it'd be too dangerous. Absolutely. So it's important that something's done.
And something you've touched on there, and I know the League of Ireland has changed. I've been going to games probably longer than 60% of Daily Mount, and I'm only whatever toward the end. It's fantastic. The league has grown. It's expanded. I know you support shares and you support balls. We managed to even pull a few people down.
I thought my one appearance at an FAI Cup final when I was 10 years old was going to turn off guys.
So, you know, we grab people from all over the corner. But, you know, at one stage, you know, 10% of the fan base were casuals. When there's only 1,000 going to games, there's 100 lads. So, you know, I've been going to games a long time, and those 100 lads, whatever, particularly over the last 15 years, you know, we've been going to the bog side drinking there outside the Bluebell when League of Ireland wasn't too family friendly. It was associated with football violence, it was associated with, you know, post-scene madness and, you know, fans fighting on pitch. You know, the shit that happened prior to what a lot of people would have been listening to this or would be familiar with was going on a long time beforehand. It's obviously calmed down now, but, you know, the scenes in the bog side, you know, to be honest with you, there's been a clear pattern this season where, you know, teams are going up to the bog side, and this has happened at the start of the season. Venezuela Bows, a famous Bows fan, the guy that fucking has his top off every other week, jumping up and down. There's a famous picture of Mountain Tala, all the tattoos. And he was on his own walking through the bog side, and he was attacked by the local lads. And there's another couple of lads who were walking down, and they were also attacked. So this is fairly much, I think, in my opinion, it's fallen on Derry's doorstep, and it's absolutely their own fault. Even you look at the Sligo incident a couple of weeks ago, two Sligo lads are walking through and they got a hiding off 20 odd lads. Rovers fans this season had to go on the pitch a full time for their safety because they were told not to leave sort of the stadium for a long period of time. And unfortunately, it came to Friday where there was an element of people who, in my opinion, weren't going to be taking that shit. The rule was rumour when we were around the Bluebell that there was going to be a Derry, an altercation with Derry fans, that they were planning to come down and have a go. Because I'm kind of not sure if you remember the first time up in Derry, about 40 or 50 lads came down, had a little look to see what was outside the Bluebell, and they sort of just walked off then when they seen the amount of balls that was there. But again, just going to the point that we've been drinking in the Bluebell for 15 years, never had an issue. We showed Mr. Coyle when he was in better health a while ago. How to make a Jager bomb. He was in shock because he used to, anytime we asked for a Jager bomb, he used to throw us out a fireball and our throats be burning for half an hour. But we've always had a great relationship with people over there, the bog side particularly. I've stayed, you family down there, I've stayed many nights down there. We've done a couple of weekenders down there on match weekends. So this is a very new thing, and it's probably come at a time where maybe violence, football violence on the bog side of things, has been at its probably lowest in particularly recent history. I think this is far at the doorstep of Derry because essentially this is a bit of retaliation that, Bows aren't going to be bullied when we go up there. We're not going to be some sort of whipping boys. We haven't never been, and there's no plan to be. And well, a lot of people might say that Bows went into the bog side. A few of us were sort of eyewitnesses as such. And Bows are waiting under the bridge or whatever like that. From what we could see, the Derry lads came out of the bog side shouting and screaming. Those lads went down to them, chased them into the bog side. And I know there was a lot of false rumors coming around Twitter. If you believed everything, there was 10 people shot dead and two bombs went off from the bow side of things. There was allegedly someone stabbed slash absolute nonsense. As the Chinese whispers go after this. But from what we've seen, there was particularly no Bows fans that went down there with tools. I think if you can look from the outside in, would a bus man let 20 lads on a bus with a load of hammers, hatchets, knives, apparently, crowbars? If you look in the video from the doorbell, which I think most of us have seen, you can see that there's Derry run out of the bog side. They go up Bows and Bows chase them into the bog side. Derry run away, but on their way, they effectively throw a load of debris from the fireworks or the bonfire at Bows. They sort of pick them up. And of course, what happened after that is unsavory scenes, and obviously locals came out to try to de-escalate it, some tried to get involved, and ultimately, cars got damaged from our side, and that's not what we want to see. It's not what we want to be involved in. But definitely escalated. Bows then left the area, and I suppose you can sort of come in and take from there. What happened from your point of view after the game, or towards the 60th minute when a few men with a few questionable items were staring over? That's from the other side of the stadium.
I think just to touch on a few things that you've talked about there, like the whole thing is just unfortunate because, like you said, like we've been drinking in the Bluebell and Derry with Derry City fans, the ball game when it was up there, when it was still standing, we just drank there. As you said, I've got family up there. I like often pop into the city after the game and drink a Pat O'Donnell's, and I'd be chatting away to Derry City fans. And even when they come down here, like you'd be chatting away to them in Doyle's Corner or the Hut, wherever it might be, if they're staying up. Like, we've always had a great relationship with Derry. So the whole thing is unfortunate, and it's sad that it might be, soured for a while going forward. Like, I can't imagine there's too much of an appetite for a lot of the fan base. And to be honest, a lot of the fan base across the league to go up. Like, I wasn't too happy, like, say, with the stewards and stuff like that. I thought the way they handled it was quite poor. They were only too happy to get us off the premises because obviously, once we're off the premises, it's far less their issue than if we're on it. I thought they were eager to kind of A, pin it on Bows, and then B, get us off the premises,
Well,
which wasn't
I
a
want to
good
give credit
look.
to the Workers' Party in Cabra who came out with a statement and essentially didn't back Bowles but called the world for what it was. And I was actually quite disgusted at the statement that came from, I think it was the MP Dorking up in Derry that basically condemned Bowles fans. There was a statement that came out from the IRSP which said there was 100 Bowles fans went to the bog side to cause murder. Like some of the stuff that was coming out of it was absolute fairy tales. And, for them to complete disassociate any blame that Bowes came to the bog side and caused murder for absolutely no reason whatsoever, I think they should probably dive a little bit deeper as to why that might have happened. Bowes have never gone anywhere and just caused murder in recent years, particularly there's been little or no trouble. Ask, go down to the local pub in Sligo and see if we ever caused trouble. In fact, go into Mr. Coyle in the Bluebell and ask in all the years of drinking down there if we ever caused trouble.
Yeah, no, the Bluebell, I think, is at Mooney's in Sligo that we'd often kind of
Yeah,
frequent.
and which
And then
they don't.
even around the Dublin grounds, like we would often drink in the Patriots or the Glen of Aherlow or the Millmount or anywhere like that. And there's never too much of a hassle. Like, I know there's been isolated incidents over the years, with other Dublin clubs kind of drinking in localities, but never really with us over the last few years anyway. So I think, you look at the surge in crowds in the League of Ireland, and you look at the kind of downturn and violence and stuff like that, and you'd say they're the two linked. But maybe it's definitely much more of a family atmosphere. And when I started going, and it's not to say it's bring your kids to Block A, but like it's certainly more of a maybe you can sit in Block D or something like that and cheer on the team or whatever. Like it certainly is more of a like there's more kids like at Rovers games than I've ever seen. Before, even for
Yeah,
example, like I think, like
well, I
that's
think
something that if you,
Robbers give away free tickets to everyone, and they stopped doing it recently. And there's only 2,000 coming in the door now. So,
even in Dalier, like you see, like there's kids going to Rovers games, whereas before, like I remember when I started going, God, how long is it now? 11 or so years, I'd say it was about 12, 13 when I started going down. It was like your ma was nervous letting you go to a Rovers game at home, and it was a big deal. You had to be straight home, and it's great to see now that there's more of a kind of family element to it. But yeah, no, it's a bit of a sour taste, isn't it? Coming down the road, and it's like you know that something's gonna happen off this, and it's like another knock, like after a mad few weeks for the club with like the Oasis jersey and stuff like that, and the Douglas James Taylor signing obviously ruffled a few feathers on the M1. But like it was seems like an all in all good few weeks, but it was just unfortunate the way it all kind of happened. But yeah, I think that hopefully, like as we said, this is now the kind of instigate an incident where there's real kind of introspection up in Derry as to how they handle the away fans going forward, because I think there's very few fans that would go up there and say they've had a kind of net positive experience, especially whatever about going into the city after the game, but in the Brandywell and kind of in the surrounding area, it can be like troublesome at worst, like.
Yeah, I think like as you said, just to go up to the Brandywell, even sort of me, Collie and a couple of others jumped out of the car. We parked up by Celtic Park, and we were walking through the Bogside pre-game, and there's a few young fellas hanging around corners. We walked by, and a couple of them put their balaclavas up over their face or their sneeze or whatever it was around them, and you kind of felt this isn't very welcome, and you kind of feel there's a bit of tension in the air, even though you weren't even down at the Bluebell yet. And also, normally we'd go down and get a picture of the Free Derry Wall. We were sort of marching towards that way. And just it was looking a bit dodgy and a bit fucking uneasy around the area. I'm sure you probably got that feel when you walked down from the city as well. And then as we're walking back, I think we bumped into a couple of lads, and there were a couple of items of debris were thrown from the bonfire over towards. Now, obviously, the lack of intelligence there is that the large items they were throwing wouldn't fit through a small fence gap that they were
Yeah,
thrown through.
that was at us. I remember looking at the bonfire, and next of all, I was hearing something made off the fence. And it was obviously thrown. Now it was more of a like move on kind of throw. It seemed like it wasn't. I don't think I aimed at the head or anything like that. But it was kind of leave and get out. Yeah, it
But it
was.
was a bit of a setting the tone in the area.
Oh yeah, I know. And look, like from what I hear up in Derry now, look, is this roasting the glass? And their perspective, I'm not sure, but like. A lot of the people who hang around kind of outside the ground before, after games, even during, aren't Derry City fans. Now, I don't know how true that is. Like, it's obviously not true for every single person involved in it. And like, it's not to tar everyone with the same brush, but like, there is a kind of element of locals as well, as opposed to just Derry City fans.
Yeah, and I suppose if you look online, a lot of Derry City people, it's actually quite disappointing that they're refusing to acknowledge sort of any blame on this, as if this hasn't been coming or hasn't been brewing. And essentially, they don't want to do anything about it from a lot of the fans' perspective. I see a few of them have admitted it, but again, no PSNI get into the area. The stewards only have so much control. Why should they be sort of making enemies in their own city as well?
Yeah,
So.
look, it's a difficult situation, and I think it's something like I know the clubs in the statements mentioned the FAI, and you're hoping maybe that they kind of it's the kind of joint effort between the clubs and Derry City and the FAI and whoever's up there, be it the private security firms or the PSNI or whoever it might be, that can just ensure that fans can get in and out of a game safely. I don't think that's a whole lot to ask in 2025, to be honest. Like, it's like a it's very few places in the world nowadays where it's like fans don't go home from games safely, and there's real danger that there on Friday that something could have happened. Luckily, I'm not sure anyone was like massively injured or hurt, especially I'm not sure about Derry, but on our side, I didn't hear any like massive casualties or anything like that. So, but like the potential for something to happen there was
Yeah.
absolutely apparent from the minute you would get into the city.
Yeah, and you could see there was two people hospitalized. Derry trying to claim there was a couple of people stabbed, obviously weren't, but then the video obviously surfaced this morning where we see the young buck who got a hiding off Bowes saying just got battered by Bowes up the red men. Well, an elderly figure beside him started recording it, which was a bit bizarre. But look,
Yeah, the whole thing was just a bit bizarre, wasn't it? It was just like it had a tense atmosphere, and maybe actually not in the city, but we had a few points in
Once you walk down to
the
that, once you walk
castle.
down that hill
Yeah,
towards the Brandywell, all the luck changes, Eamon.
we had a few points in the castle. Actually, now it's called Lizzie O'Farrell's, and then walked down the hill towards the Brandywell, and it was that kind of change in atmosphere, and which is unfortunate because again, like we've had nothing really but good times in Derry over the last year, so it'd be nice to kind of
Yeah,
get back up
absolutely.
there. It mightn't be the next away game, but it might be the one after that or the one after that. I don't know. It'd be nice to kind of be able to go back up there and now and enjoy a game of football without that kind of stuff
Yeah,
happening.
absolutely. And you can see a lot of comments online. I think there'll be a lot of Bowes fans, new Bowes fans that'll be listening to this, and they'll be thinking this is some sort of egging on of the whole thing from my behalf. But I think unless you've been up there and you were up there this season, were you up there the first game?
I was, yeah, and for me
Yeah.
sins, yeah, it was
So if
awful.
you weren't up this season, and you weren't up there and you haven't been up there in the last couple of years, or there's a lot of Bowes fans that have been commenting about the behaviour who weren't up there. It's kind of hard to get a grasp and understanding of why this sort of happened, and not to try to justify it, but to advise that this wasn't an initial instigation by Bowes. If there was a Bowes element of trouble there, they were waiting for the trouble to come to them. Nobody ran sprinting to the bog side. Nobody's thick enough, I don't think, in Ireland to run sprinting to the bog side and just look for a fight. It ended up coming down, and it ended up in the bog side, and obviously locals get involved. But yeah, it wasn't what we wanted, as you'd say.
No, it was not what we wanted. Did leave a bit of a sour taste, like I know, before the game. Look, I don't think either side were saints in any of what happened. Like, it does seem like both sides are kind of out, either looking for or expecting trouble, like, depending on who you listen to and what you read or whatever. But yeah, it's just disappointing. Like, and then post game, sure, that's a different kettle of fish altogether. Like, that's kind of where my real issues, like, I don't know what Derry City can do
Yeah, well,
before the game. Like, I know there's been certain away games. I know back in the day in Dundalk, like, we'd been off the bus and there would have been a kind of police escort towards a pub or towards the ground. It's happened obviously with Rovers, you get a kind of escort in the Lewis. I don't know what they can do in terms of the PSNI and the relationship there. Like, I don't think the PSNI will be able to escort away fans into the Brandywell. I think that might invite more trouble. But like, yeah, I think the post game is just really indicative that something does need to be addressed there, because it was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I
Like,
think
you.
we'll pick it up from the 60th minute where, I think it was 1-0. Bowes are sort of in the ascendancy a bit in the pitch, which we'll get to the football eventually. But we just saw sort of had
Game of
a.
football, threat the breakout.
I remember Shells just having a little look over, and I was like, what the fuck are you looking at? And my old bat's eyes couldn't see jack shit for a couple of minutes. I had to wait till they focused in. And then of course, then after a few minutes, you could see a few figures, a handful of figures standing on top of the what looked like the back of a house and a wall, with a selective number of items of a choice. A few questions asking what handicap was a certain punter playing off, given he had a golf club in his hand.
Yeah,
And then
I think.
of course, up that area, they're sort of known for altering weapons of choice. So you could see what someone said, it was either a bazooka or a yoga mat, and I certainly don't think he's gone to yoga.
I don't think he was doing the downward dog anyway. It was yeah, it was the there was around the 60s, 70s minute, wasn't it? And it was the, if you know Derry, it's the Longmoor Road kind of backs onto the main stand, opposite the away fans. And there was about six or seven lads, all black, just kind of stood up on this wall and were just looking kind of over at us. And you kind of got the sense that, okay, there might be a bit of trouble getting out of here. Now, did I expect a firework bazooka to be launched at us? Probably not. But yeah, it was, I think lads were getting ready for the trip to Dalian in September, knowing that Shandon Park is quite close to the ground anyway. So they were probably just getting their pitch and putt practice.
Yeah, he said in that picture looking over, I think, well, look, me anyway and a few others are known that this could get a bit nasty and a bit tasty. And fortunately, when you're in the situation that you know there's no police coming to save you, you know the local mothers and fathers obviously don't give a bollocks because they've been out doing it all day and they've been doing it all year. So you're sort of taking it up a little bit. Now you're gonna have to take this into your own hands and fucking, you know, Derry's not a nice place to go if you're in a bit of bother. So, you know, after the game, I think a lot of lads was already prepared for the worst what was going to happen. It wasn't very pleasant. You know, as someone who was a war enthusiast in terms of history, the Vietnam War, you know, these are sort of my mini obsessions and hobbies on the side. All these documentaries, it was quite impressive to see whatever the voice he put together. But in hindsight, but at the time, it was fucking mental. We just heard the sort of noise. You couldn't really see them at the time. And then, next of all, this firework repeater is going off for 2 or 3 minutes, just being shot at. And it's going to fucking completely bat out because they know quite well that the people who were involved in the earlier commotion were gone out of the city. And that what was left there was basically the sort of fans that had been not involved in it. So they put that centenary style torrent repeater on top of the fence and effectively shot at what was young men. Well, even boys, some of them, you know, there's a pregnant woman in the crowd. There's a couple of families in the crowd. And essentially, they just kept shooting. And, you know, a couple of brave soldiers made the brave sprint towards them to get them down off the wall and took a few in the mush. And then it just escalated there for a couple of more minutes. And it was bedlam. I'm not sure what you made of it.
Yeah, like I think obviously you're kept in after the game. And we're kind of standing in the stand just chatting to a few people, and you heard a kind of commotion around the corner, and we walked around the corner, and it was just a kind of it was a bit more than handbags of five faces because the stuff was getting thrown over the wall and stuff like that. It seemed like it was planks or small things or whatever. And then yeah, the first firework went off and it was like you thought maybe okay, they've got a repeater or something like that, and then the fireworks went off at a rate I've never seen before, and I kind of moved off to the left to see if it was like multiple people, and I needed to be really careful because obviously multiple people could go anywhere, and that's when I seen the kind of I suppose you can call it a bazooka mounted on the wall, firing off. It was yeah, nearly a miracle that no one was seriously injured off it. I know lads had a few cuts and stuff from, I think, glasses that were thrown over and splintered and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a surreal thing to see in real time. And yeah,
It was
counted our lucky
because,
stars getting back on the bus, I think.
yeah, because when it went off initially, I'm not sure about you, but I couldn't really, you couldn't, because there was a bit of smoke coming out, you actually couldn't see who was there or where they were really. So there was sort of a few people broke the barrier before me, or broke towards them before me. Well, a few more of us then started sprinting over, obviously to fucking see what was going on, get involved and fucking try sort it out by one means or another. But when we got there was obviously a fucking massive fence between them. So these cunts quite well knew that no matter what would happen, they'd sort of get away with it. I even sort of went back and forward out for a period of time, just a few minutes. But I fucking gave out steam to a few people recording it because I don't think it's right. You should be recording both fans involved in an altercation which they clearly didn't start, and they're the faces you're recording, and you're more than happy to be posting online.
Yeah, it all kind of happened. It was went on for a while and happened so fast at the same time. It felt like it was just like people were didn't really know what to do. Like it was kind of making sure that people were kind of safe and stuff like that. And then it was, can you stop it? Like lads went over bravely, I suppose is one word for it, to try stop the kind of madness that was happening. Because yeah, it was evident that if it kept up, someone was going to get really hurt. Yeah, it was a mad situation. Like, I mean, you think it was a game of football. It was well, all we went up for. It was a mad kind of scenario to be caught up in. Yeah, happy enough to get on the bus and get home then at the end, because it was
And you know,
certainly.
there's an element that I sort of feel a bit fucking sorry for the stewards, because one, I don't think they really side with those lads. I think they sort of did side with us, to a degree. I know after that sort of happened, I think everyone was just fucking wanted to get out of there. And when the barriers sort of broke out to get out, we were sort of there outside, and the steward was trying to, what was the word he was looking for? What's the word looking for here? He was trying to basically calm us all down and sort of basically fucking tell us, wait 10 minutes, it all calms down. We'd been in the ground about 25, 30 minutes after the match at this stage. We're not fucking 10 minutes away from Dublin. People wanted to go home. So we essentially broke out of the stadium, about 60 or 70 of us. And someone described that as, you were hell bent on causing more trouble. I wouldn't have described that. I'd say we're more hell bent on getting fucking home.
Yeah, I actually kind of lost the crowd towards the end. It was all kind of stewards pointing you which way and every way, and it was like just needed to get home was the main thing. So yeah, I walked down the Longmoor Road, kind of kept the head down. It was got there in the end, but yeah, it was. I think people were wanted to get home, and like it was like, was it wise to stay in the stadium? Maybe, but like I did feel like the stewards were kind of pushing us out, because there was a few buses in the car park. Which is why they brought us there in the first place, and then sure, our bus wasn't. So we had to kind of get back to it. It was yeah, it all just kind of like when stewards are telling you to go every which way, like there was some time to stay in the ground, go to the car park, it was like you didn't know which way to go. So we ended up getting a little bit separated for a while, yeah. But I don't think people were going out to cause more trouble. I think people wanted to get home, as you said. Like it's been a long enough day as it was. Like I think we left Dublin at about 1:30, 1:45, and by this stage it was probably past 10 o'clock at night. Well past 10 o'clock at night,
I
I'd
was
say.
think it was nearly 11 o'clock when we were leaving Derry.
Yeah, because when you think like there was a flare thrown on the pitch by the Derry fans in the first half,
Well, there
which
was a
was a
flare
big.
thrown out of the stadium onto the pitch.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah, grand.
So that didn't seem to be part of the local community statement. The match was stopped for 10 minutes, and they threw the flare into the side of the Derry fans as well, which is a bit bizarre.
Yeah, I did think it came from a strange kind of place in the ground where flares wouldn't usually be thrown. But it was that stopped the game. And then I'm sure we'll get on to talking about the football in a little bit, but like that added 5 or 6 on then at the end of the first half, and then there was added time at the end of the game, and then by the time you're kept in and all this happens and it all lies down and you're walking out, it's probably 10:30, close to 11 by the time we were leaving. It was all surreal anyway. But yeah, it was just madness, like to see it happen in front of you. Like it's nearly something you'd hear about in
It's
Greece or
nearly
Turkey
something
or
seeing
something like that.
Hooligans TV,
Yeah, one of those
Leisure
mad Instagram
Warsaw
accounts.
versus fucking Leisure Warsaw versus Krakow or something like that in the third division of
Yeah,
basketball.
it had a Greek feel to it or something like that, like a
I think at one stage
Greek or Turkish. It was.
there was one post that had like 1.2 million viewers alone of the fireworks torrent over the wall. So that was just one page. So it went all over the world. It was bizarre. Like, it was a lot of people would be disgusted, and I can understand. So, people brought their kids there. There's a again a pregnant woman we know well that probably tuning in here that was there, and it's fucking horrific to see that those lads knew quite well people who they were involved in combat earlier on had left the area, and they were just trying to fucking get any sort of last laugh they could.
Yeah, look, I think the whole thing was quite avoidable. Like, it's just, if there's a way to keep away fans safe in the kind of vicinity of the ground, great. If, like, whatever, it was just, it all felt avoidable from the minute we got up, to be honest. And it was a disappointing way to end it.
Yeah,
Like,
that's one
as I
thing
said,
that's.
it's a trip you look forward to. Like, it's a trip that, you book it in, you book the annual leave, and you take the half day, and you're a bit giddy going down to Fitzroy before the game, and it's like it's a great day out. Like, and it was a shame that it all had that kind of edge to it.
Yeah.
It's not what you want, like going to
Yeah, and
the games, like.
people who know, certainly been no angel in my youth, but you said it there, Cole, and I think it sums it up perfectly. It felt unavoidable since from the get go. In a roundabout way.
Yeah, I kind of like. Avoidable and avoidable at the same, like it was like just the atmosphere that was created felt like something was going to happen, but it was just felt the whole thing was quite avoidable. If it was like they knew full well the fans had been assaulted in the game in February, I think it was February. Yeah, it would have been
Yeah.
February, and then like people are coming up and stuff like that. You could see the amount of numbers we sold in tickets. I think there was 300, 400 fans there. Yeah, it just felt like there maybe could have been measures put in place beforehand, or like certainly when there's been something there's been things happened before the game, and then like Derry fans or locals or whoever it is know where you are for 2 hours of the night, know exactly where you are. Just felt like maybe more should have been put in place to help us there. And I think that's something, again, hopefully, like, and again, we're lucky that no one got injured or seriously hurt.
On our side.
Yeah, because that, like, the straw that broke the camel's back, at least it's not something far, far more serious. And yeah, like you said, there's two lads in hospital, which is obviously not great. But yeah, hopefully it's something that, like, you put it down to pretty awful kind of day for the club. Like, no matter which way you look at it, for both clubs and for the league, it's not a great advertisement. Like, it's all, like, you see the greatest league of the world stuff. I don't think that'll make any of the promo videos anyway.
No, but it's important to know, as I said earlier on, that for new fans, that, like, unless you were up there in February and you're less up there now, there's a lot of people who weren't there seem to have their 2 pence in it, and they seem to be fucking giving their own opinion about what a disgrace some people are. But again, if you weren't up there in February and you weren't up there the weekend, it's hard to put into words to say why that happened and give some sort of justification in a roundabout way.
Yeah, look, you don't want to be justifying violence every week or anything like it, but it just felt like there was, maybe it's not even Bows and Derry, maybe it was just up in Derry with the things that obviously touched on Sligo and Rovers and stuff like that, and there's been incidents there. I think Pats have had their issues up in Derry as well.
Yeah, like the windows put in a couple of times, I think.
Yeah, and look, it's something that, like, because I think a lot of people in Derry are great people. Like, there's loads of great Derry City fans you have to laugh with in the pub, be it in Dublin or Derry before and after the games, and it's always you go up into the city, and I know even going up following Dublin, playing Derry up in Celtic Park, there's always been a kind of great atmosphere, a bit of banter between the two kind of sets of supporters, and it's just, it's a shame that it has to come down to something like that, and hopefully it's something that, like, can be avoided in the future through proper kind of practices from the FAI and from the clubs and from stewards or whoever it might be. I think it's something that can be avoided in future.
Yeah, and look, it'd be an interesting, I know there's a joint statement released today, and it'd be interesting to see how it's managed, because again, from what you're reading online, the locals are passing all blame on the Bowls as if nothing has happened this year up there. You know, there's been messages from Sligo fans to the podcast today when I asked what's the question, and a lot of them saying, fair fucks, don't be bullied by them cunts. Few Drogheda fans as well even getting in touch saying that it wasn't a very pleasant experience. So, you know, it's a real case of where to go from here. I'm not sure how they work it, because again, like I said, there seems to be no self-diagnosis from the locals that this is clearly their local young lads. They seem to say kids will be kids, but, you know, don't go near our kids at the same time. So I don't know how they approach this fixture. I'd imagine a lot of those people going up now are probably going to have to go meet in a point and go together and leave together, and it's some sort of joint effort. But it probably won't be for this season, but it certainly will probably have to be looked and talked about amongst you know, the Facebook group, the WhatsApps and stuff like that people are going to have to sort some way in and out of the city for the foreseeable future, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I think it's probably one, not a positive, but one thing to take from it is that we don't have another game of Derry this year, so it kind of has time to let sit and stuff like that, and you'd probably like it to be as long as possible before we play up there again, so maybe it's the second round of fixtures and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a shame. It's a real shame, and I'm sure we'll move on to the kind of proper matters that a football podcast should be talking about after a game, after a massive game as well. It wasn't like it was a nothing game. It was an absolutely huge game in the context of the season. But yeah, absolutely. Hopefully now
we'll move on, and, you know, we'll see what happens in the coming, probably unless we get them in the cup, you won't see them again till next year. And there's no fear of them coming to Daily Mount anyway for the return fixture towards the end of the season, though. So,
well, I think that could work both ways. I can't see a lot of people now, even like from our own club and from other clubs, like looking at that, and like, unless things are put in place quickly and they have assurances and stuff like that, which I don't know if you can give, I can't see many sets of fans wanting to go up to the Brandywell.
Yeah, and I also recall an incident several years ago where a Rovers bus was actually turned around at the new buildings by the PSNI.
Yeah, geez, I wish our bus was turned around. but yeah, no, I don't know if fans, especially fans with young kids and like women going up and like even like families, I can't imagine it's too appetizing a game. And then you're looking at, well, who does want to go up on a day to cause trouble as well? And it's going to, is that just a thing now that just builds on itself? You'd hope not. You'd hope that things are kind of put in place swiftly to make sure that that doesn't happen. You'd hope, but yeah, it's certainly not a good situation to be talking about. Like, it's not something that you want to be talking about on a Monday after a massive game on the Friday. Like,
yeah. Look, we'll move past the madness that ensued after the game. We'll move on to the football part now, which I'm sure a lot of people are probably going to start tuning out. But
yeah, definitely the most uneventful part of the day. Anyway, was the
a lot of it
90 minutes of alleged football that broke out.
Alleged football. It's a fucking awful pitch. We gave Bowes a hard time in the car on the way back from the last trip, but it's an awful pitch. You can't play football on it, like.
Yeah, the first day, I think, after the high of beating Rovers and Lansdowne the week before, or the Sunday before, going up there, like, nothing. It was a bad day. Was it? I can't remember if it was raining, but it was definitely freezing windy. Yeah, it was windy as anything. And, you know, nothing really happened in the game, bar an outrageous free kick from who else but Michael Duffy against Bowes, to rub salt in the wounds, and nothing really happens then for the rest of the game. You could argue maybe that we should have made something happen, but obviously then you're getting back into that debate about the pitch, and it's really it's a nasty pitch to play on. Like, for us, as someone who played football in Astro my whole life, like, if you're not used to playing in Astro and you go up there kind of twice a season, it's a really, really difficult to adjust to, especially in difficult conditions. And like, I think I probably let them off a little bit for the Derry game, because I was like, it was such an awful day, and, you know, beat Rovers, you can kind of take that as your free hit then. But obviously the run that we went on after the Derry game was awful for a while. But yeah, I think, like, it wasn't a whole lot dissimilar to the first game. I thought, bar maybe the weather was a bit nicer, I thought they dominated the first half, like, completely dominated us. Didn't feel like we could stamp our authority on the game. I thought they actually looked really well set up. I know Tiernan Lynch took a bit of stick from Derry City fans at the start of the season, kind of maybe unproven in the League of Ireland, but I thought they were really well set up. I thought they kind of didn't let us affect the game the way we wanted to affect it. And I thought the first half felt like, especially with the flair and stuff like that, I think there was 5 or 6 added on, felt like it went on forever, to be honest. And you were like nearly holding on as if it was the last minute. And eventually Akinyemi scores the header, and it's, you're going in 1-1, you're hoping maybe you got away with it, but you didn't.
Yeah, I remember leading up to the goal, you could nearly feel it coming in a way. I felt Boyce bullied Kavanagh and Bourne. I think it just goes to show how important Rob Cornwall is to that back line. When I thought Boyce absolutely bullied Kavanagh, he absolutely bullied Cian Bourne at times. He outmuscled them, outfought them. It was a case of a lot of times man against two boys. Another about young centre halves.
That's probably because it is a man against two boys. I'm not sure if Boyce played the first game against us. Was it Hooban? Can't remember exactly. I think he might have, but like, it was only when you see him up close, like, the man is an absolute unit. Like, he's so big. And then Byrne and Kavanagh, obviously, like, Kavanagh's quite a big lad, but I think he's still probably learning how to use his frame. And Byrne's obviously a bit smaller, a bit of a different type of centre half, but Boyce is an absolute unit. And Akinyemi as well isn't too much smaller. Like, the two lads are absolutely massive. And then you've got, like, to complete that trio up front, Mick Duffy. That's a really, really strong team. And then you've got, like, I think they've got one of the best teams in the league on form as well. Like, you look at throughout the team, I thought Sam Todd was quite good, especially in the first half against us. I know we were in for him before Derry got him. Thought him, Connolly, and the new lad Bannon looked really, like, composed and assured. Now, were we making life easy for them by not playing up to our strengths? Maybe, but yeah, I thought the team was quite well set up down with Boyce and the new lad. I think Fleming, his name is, he put the ball in for Akinyemi's header, and it was just, you couldn't see a way back into the game for Bowes, and the referee'd whistle. It was all a bit gloomy, like, you were thinking after the unsavoury scenes before the game, and now you're getting beat. It was shaping up to be a pretty miserable away game.
Yeah, and as you said there, it was men against boys, but, you know, I do have this fear about Kavanagh. Seems when he makes one mistake, he decides to make 3 or 4 in a row, and it can be costly at times. I know it wasn't probably a fault for the goal. Akinyemi just got in front of his man and buried it. But, you know, I think Kavanagh, I know he's only played a year senior football, and, you know, being told about, oh, there's a player in there. You can see, even, I think Stephen Kenny was in Dalian before, and he said, Jesus, he's done well to sign him. He's going to be some player. But at some point, he's going to have to turned this into not making a mistake for one game, because he was dropped out of squad for a few weeks. I'd imagine he was brought in, and Morhaime was taken out of that position, due to the fact that he was a bit more of an extra muscle strength in the centre back position. But he's been given a 2 year deal. Reynolds clearly trusts him. Reynolds knows a bit more about football than me or you. So hopefully he bears the fruits of Cavan, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later, because Cornwall out, he can be suspect to, and does get a few injuries over the course of a season. And Lacia, I think, is still quite a bit away from coming back. So, from a defensive front, it did improve the second half, in fairness. We did come out of the blocks flying. We did show that bit of intensity, and I think we got the goal that we probably deserved in the given the run of play that was gone.
Yeah, I think we put enough pressure to score the goal, and like the goal for a team that aren't exactly as tall as Derry or as big as Derry, it came from a long ball and excellent work by Clark to kind of make a nuisance of himself. And then I think it's Mountney who follows in with the header, and eventually Rossi puts in an excellent finish. It's a Route One goal against a team that you would think are set up to play against Route One football. So it was a bit of a surprise when it started dropping for us. You're looking at long balls going up and thinking the likes of Connolly and Sam Todd and Bannon are big lads, like you think they'd deal with it, but Clark, as he seems to do all the time, just makes a nuisance of himself from the centre backs and makes it really difficult for them to deal with the ball. Yeah, on Kavanagh, I didn't think he did awfully. I think he did struggle. I think he would struggle against a player like Boyce, and then Akinyemi and Duffy running off as well. Mountney and or sorry, would have been Flores. Would have Flores or no, it would have been Mountney playing fullback, wouldn't it? It was like a three at the back kind of situation. With McDonald kind of playing wide as well. But like I thought, we kind of struggled with that three. And then you've got Fleming and Boyce bombing on as well. I thought we did kind of struggle, especially in that first half. Kavanagh, yeah, there's obviously a player there. If Reynolds is giving him a 2 year deal, if I'd have sat here 4 months ago and you'd have said Alan Reynolds knows more about football than me and you, I think I'd have checked you in somewhere, given what you were saying 4 months ago. But it was definitely an improved second half from. Even the lads at the back, like obviously you're hoping not to concede, and we didn't. I thought they kind of stood up a little bit more. I don't think Derry had it all their own way. I know they kind of had a few chances there towards the end, but I don't think they necessarily deserved the win out of it. I thought like it was a fairly professional enough performance up there. You're playing a team who you're kind of like overtaking in the table 1 week, and then they're overtaking you the next. So to kind of have a stalemate up there with them coming down to Dalymount now in a few weeks isn't the worst result by any stretch.
Yeah, and I don't think we can be too disappointed. Two games in hand, home to Galway, away to Derry, 4 points collected. We all said, two in hand mean fuck off, because they don't have points on the board. Well, we've gotten the 4 points. We probably would have taken that certainly at the start of the break of games. And I think that we're really, 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 really good position now to be pushing on and getting to a European spot. We do for a year ahead of Derry. I think we'll close out the season ahead of Derry. I think they go to Rovers this weekend. We're at home to Drogheda, which we're going to touch on slightly. But as you said, it's been back and forth today. I think we are going to be the chasing pack. Is there still a bit of belief in you that maybe we could mount the challenge of Rovers, stay busy in Europe over the coming weeks?
I don't think there was ever a bit of belief in me, to be honest. I think it's always kind of felt that little bit out of reach. For me anyway, like you look at just the strength and depth Rovers have, like they're 3-0 down and they're bringing on Mandrew and they're bringing on Gaffney and they're bringing on whoever. Like it's a different level to what we have. Or even like you look at Derry's bench there, they brought on, I think Adam O'Reilly came on, Robbie Benson, the lad Mullen up front, the Scottish fella. Like they have a serious bench, like probably more even than we do. And they don't even seem near them. I think it's nearly all over by the shout. And I think I checked earlier, I think we're 7 behind them. Same amount of games played. I think Derry are 8. Like I know there's a few 6-pointers to be played there, and if Derry get a result in Tallaght, they'd be full of belief. But I don't know. I think like us keeping track with Derry, and now that's obviously why Friday's a massive game. Drogs, I think, are in fourth. And this season more than ever, you look at Shells, look at Pats, Galway, Sligo are on form. It does look like a cup winner could come out of the top four easily, like really easily. So it is. It's
Yeah,
making sure you're in that third spot, because I don't think fourth is going to be enough this year.
I think. Well, look, it will be. If either us. Well, look, I'll call it this way. We're touching the draw of the game now in a few moments, but I think we beat draw on Friday. I think we cement the top three spot. 9 games to go after this Friday. That means we would be if we win on Friday, which we're hoping and expecting, and Drogheda have beaten us twice, we owe them one, in my opinion. If we win on Friday, we will be at least 10 points clear of Pats with 9 games to go, and at least 7 points clear of Shelbourne with 9 games to go. That is an awful lot of points turned around in 9 games. And that would mean they'd have to win, Pats would have to win 4 more games than us. So they'd have to win, basically, if we won 4 games, they'd have to win 5 games. So they'd have to win, oh, sorry, they'd have to win 9 games. So we've won 4 games of our last 9 after winning this Friday. Pats can't catch us. And that's literally the doomsday scenario. And it'd be proper hang Reynolds from the floodlights and hang the coach and staff, and even hang the players and get tar and feather them through the streets of Hillsborough. So, you have to put into context again when you're chasing the league. I think this weekend's going to be huge. If we can get Derry to beat Rovers, and if we can beat Drogheda, then it goes down to 4 points, and then you can maybe be quietly confident and wish and hope and pray and beg. But at the moment, I think 3 points on Friday, I think that would nearly see us holes home for a top three spot down the mats.
Yeah, I was just looking at the fixtures earlier. Obviously, when you text me after many 3 a.m. phone calls begging me, I said I'd finally come on. I was looking at the next kind of round of fixtures, and the next 2 games for us are Drogs and Shells, and it's Drogs at home and it's Shells away. And you'd have to look at that and say that wraps up, I think, round three of the fixtures, and I think that will tell us a lot. I think the next 2 games will tell us a lot as to what our ambitions are. Like, if there's somehow a scenario where we pick up 6 and Rovers drop 6, then you are probably looking at a title race. But it's like you at least want 4 points out of the next two, and it's crucial that we're not dropping too many points to people around us. I think if we can get to that stage where we are, as you said, kind of 9, 10 points out of Pats or Shells, it is going to come down to those games against them and making sure that we don't drop points. Because again, I do think, like, look, the cup game is massive as well, but it's those games around in the teams around you. Like, making sure that they don't pick up points, and it is going to be crucial in the next kind of few weeks. And then hopefully, like you have that cushion then going into the end of the season. Because I think one thing that we've all talked about over the season now has been our squad depth, and it's probably gotten a little bit better. Like, you look at the likes of James Taylor coming in now, then you've Colly Whelan and you've Clark, you can play up there. Parsons, I thought, actually had a quite a good game on Friday when he came on. He just gave us that bit of pace when maybe the legs were starting to go. I think he came on for Dale Rooney, but I thought he looked quite lively. No, it was McDonald he came on for, not Rooney. I thought he looked lively. I thought he like gave us a bit of an out ball down the left. He'll be important. I don't know what Archie Meekison's kind of situation is in terms of when he's back, but he'd be important. It's about depth then, isn't it? It's like, if you can give yourself a cushion against teams who maybe have better squad depth than you. I know Shells have been busy as they signed your man and Bang from Cork. They signed a fella from West Ham today as well, so they've been busy, so they'll have depth.
I think they look
So
like
it's a
Shells are
cork's a
really
bit of a
banking on
cushion.
getting to that Conference League financially.
Yeah, you'd imagine they've gone all out for it now, wouldn't you? Like, it is a case where Europe is starting to slip for them, and obviously they've got the cup, but like, it is maybe a case of this is the year where we can make a right few quid, and look, if they do.
If they get to the Conference, it probably bankrolled them for the next couple of years. Again, like Shells getting a couple of million from Europe this year probably just about clears off that debt that they're going to in cost this year and last year. Probably won't even clear the 2 years that if they come out with a couple of million from this. So it's kind of important to us that they don't maybe win that conference playoff. But it looks like they've really gone out money wise to make sure they're in that Conference League group stage.
Yeah, it does. Like, you can't imagine, you'd imagine there's a bit of competition for the lads that they've signed. I think I was looking at some of the start of the season, they signed the likes of Odabeko and Ellis Chapman and stuff like that. And I think they got a lad from Liverpool. Like, they made a few signings. Harry Wood, I think, was permanent, or maybe he was permanent before that. But I think they made some good signings. I was a bit worried about them going back to back. Kieran McEnroy has been excellent as well, actually. Yeah,
So that
I'm not
they signed a
sure.
lot of players there who aren't Meepo. I think Bowes inquired to Meepo's agent, and he said, "Look, I don't care if he doesn't care if he's signing for Damien Duff or he's signing for Donald Duck. He just basically whoever's offering the most money, that's where he's going. There's no love here. It's purely business, which is understandable. So they're not paying pennies out to these players either."
Oh no, definitely not. But you think now, if they get into them group stages, like, sure, writing off the losses for Shells doesn't mean that they're at square one. It means they can kind of go again. It means that they can re like they can incur more losses in the hope of getting Europe again, and then remaking them back. That is the model that teams seem to be going for, like, at the minute in the league. And is it sustainable? Probably not. But when the payouts from the cup and the league are so pathetic and lads are getting sold for 30 grand because agents are negotiating sell-on clauses, it is hard to find a way to kind of make money as a club in the league. And that's why obviously our commercial exploits have been well documented by those around the league, more so than us probably. But like, it's definitely like, there's no debate as to how much it brings into the club and what it does for us from a financial health perspective. Like, because you look at Shells now, they don't get Conference League and they may not get Europe, and they've got players and big money, and it starts to become a real kind of like not sustainable. And businessmen who are at the top, who are businessmen and treat football like a business, they won't want to be running a losing business. So it is a bit precarious, I'd say, for Shells, and I'd say some of the higher ups are quite worried about it. But again, they could get into the Conference League and all of that could be solved quite easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And goes back to on the pitch matters, eh? Just to wrap up on that Derry game, I was delighted to see Ross Tierney get a goal. He's been devoid of the goals of late, and we were all hoping that he was going to chip in and make, hopefully now it's kicks out to a run of goals towards the end of the season, because he know himself, look, there's a couple of games, the Sligo game, one or two chances he should have scored past on boy. Well, he's just a player that does absolutely everything in terms of dogged work, beats a man, you know, runs the channels, sets everyone up, and it was good to see him actually put his name on the team sheet.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. Look, I think Ross, yeah, like, he might be critical when he misses the chances, but I don't think you can ever fault his endeavour or his work ethic or just how much he gives. Like, I was actually looking for his goal there today. I was looking to see who put the ball in for Clark. I think it was Dawson. And it was just searched up Ross Tierney on Twitter and went into kind of filter by new. And there was a couple, I think there was one or two comments on their Derry post and Derry fans saying to take Carl Winchester off in the middle because Tierney was running rings around him. And he was, especially in that second half, like, he did a lot of dogged running in the first half. But I think the second half, he got to kind of stretch his legs in an attacking sense as well and really looked like the player that we kind of know he is. Like, I think him and Dawson have been so invaluable this year. When you think of last year, they came in, and I think I definitely would have been, and a few others would have been critical. Maybe you think, like, these lads are much better players than they're showing. And, like, we really were, I think, especially last year, was so kind of dire. We were relying on the likes of Dawson to pick us up and grab games with a scruff of the neck, and I think maybe he didn't. But then you look at it, he's got a full pre-season this year, and I think there's no debate, like, he's a much better player than he was when he left. Like, him and Bucco would have been an excellent kind of compliment in the middle in 21 there, with Dawson being the kind of genius that he is and Bucco doing a lot of the running. But you can see Dawson now, he's even defensively, he's astute, he's in the right positions, he's running, he's making tackles, he's intercepting the ball, he's starting attacks, he's doing everything. I'd say he's an absolute dream to play with, like, himself. And he, like, you know, it's probably listed as McDonald, but he usually is Moran in there beside him, with McDonald pushing up. I'd say Moran can't believe his luck sometimes when he's in there beside him, because he's an absolute joy to watch. Like, some of the games this year, even like the Pats game, the nil all, I thought he was amazing. Like, yeah, like, genuinely, that's a performance that you'd see the likes of maybe Chris Forrester or Jack Byrne or something put in over the years and be like, wow, I wish he played for us. And
yeah, I think
we're very lucky to have him.
Dawson's probably in that position a little bit deeper than Forrester, but I think we all are hoping maybe for another goal or two from him as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. Dawson played as a striker growing up as well. He'd played in front for Kevins. He was a really good striker. I remember playing in goal against him a few times, and we'd look, I think he was at Home Farm at the time. We used to see, we were playing Home Farm the paper, and you'd be hoping he was on holidays or something like that, because he used to just genuinely be unbelievable. You'd love him to see. You'd love to see maybe a few more goals. I thought he took his goal down in Waterford exceptionally well. Like, he was probably the only player on a pretty bad night for us that really stood up and was, like, dragging us through the game. I thought we probably didn't get the ball to him enough. I know there was a chance there against, I think it was Sligo there, where we hit the bar recently in the last minute. Like, maybe, yeah, like, that's probably more unlucky than a bad finish. But yeah, mate, like, I think maybe goals is something that he can add to his game. But look, maybe if he adds too much of his game, he'd be taken back off us. So maybe we'll leave him out of goals.
Be careful.
I think I don't think we want him having a Richie Tell season from midfield anyway. I think he'd be gone.
Yeah, and we'll move on to the events of this coming Friday. As we've briefly touched on, huge 3 points at stake. Three extra points. I think we go seven. I think we potentially go, I think it's seven clear of Drogheda if we can manage this win. I think in a 9-game shoot-off against them, it'd probably fancy us to not lose 7 points to them over the course of the last 9 games. Albeit last year they ended quite strong. I think they could be the polar opposite this year, given they've lost That man up front, Douglas James Taylor, who was out with a flu, I believe, on Friday.
Yeah, Douglas James Taylor, who we made an unbelievable song for on the bus up, and then we realised that he had the flu and he was out, we wouldn't get to debut it. So I'm not sure I'll forgive him for that. But yeah, no, it's one of those. Like, I was up there, obviously, I think I missed the Monday game. I was up there at the away fixture, and he actually scored the penalty. It was a game that we had thought we absolutely dominated, and we had chances. We probably could have won it on a different day. I know the young lad, Hugh Smith, missed a chance or two, and it was just things weren't falling to the right people. It was just one of those days where it was a day that you were nearly waiting for, like in March, where you could lose a game and walk off the pitch and say you played well. It's one of those, you don't want to lose it, but it was nice to see that we could play well. Because it was towards the start of that run there where it was just like, and I think since, I don't know, I think that the Shells game maybe turned it for me, or the Derry game, where it's just been a great, like, it's been great watching them. Like, they've been absolutely brilliant most weeks, and even when they lose, they're giving everything. Like, even the game there on Friday, couldn't fault the effort, and there was maybe times we were trying to do things that weren't coming off. But yeah, it's a massive game on Friday. I won't be there. I'll be in a field in Waterford listening to Fontaine's DC, so I'll be thinking of everyone and trying to check the score. But yeah, it's a game again that we have to win. Or, like, again, you think a draw, and you think maybe of a lower, like, table side, but they're right up there with us, and it's maybe a game we absolutely can't lose it.
Yeah, I think that we have to go on positive. We've seen positive results on the pitch recently, particularly the last maybe 15 games, and we are going in there expecting 3 points at home to Drogheda. Again, they're not there without their star striker. He'll now hopefully be on the other side of the goal scorer in front. I know he was the difference in the penalty the last game out, and up in Hunky Dory, or the kind of
Head
whatever
in
it's
the
called, the head
game,
in the game.
Mike Parry Park.
The Mike Parry Park, the Woke Arena. I think they're even starting to cut up there. But yes, that's currently where we are and where we're at. We're going to this game expecting it. I think we win. I genuinely think if you're booking a family holiday and you're a Bowls fan, don't be booking it for next July. Tell them you
Think a
tell the.
certain man's wedding might have to be changed. Actually, no, it's in June, isn't it?
Yes,
He'll be all right.
certainly
He'll be
gay
all
man's in
right.
jail.
He'll be all right.
So, anyone planning any events next year, just make sure you're not using up your annual leave too early.
I believe, yeah, absolutely. Start
So.
putting a few quid in credit union, hopefully. Like, it's hard. Like, I know, look, I actually had a look at their team there the other day, or actually today. I seen Paul Doyle is out. He's a decent footballer. Your man, Ahui, I'm not sure how you say his name. The big unit at the back for them, he was out. But, like, we know what they're about. They're a massive team. They're physical. They try bully you, not in a kind of dirty way, but they will try to get on top of you. The likes of Alua up front and Keely at the back with Quinn and stuff like that. And you've got Brennan. Like, it's a good team. They probably crept under the radar. I know they won the cup last year, but I don't think many took them kind of their individual players seriously as good as they are. So again, no, it'll be a test. I think I remember the game, the home game, I was absolutely convinced we'd lose because we didn't look like a team that were going to break a team down. We do now, I think. So I think we've got a much better chance, and hopefully Dougie is taking a few lem sips and he's backfiring, because I think we do need that focal point up front against a massive defence like Drogheda's.
Yeah, so look at that call now. I do thank you. I think we have you here for an hour. It's not the podcast we wanted, it's not the podcast you
No.
expected. But I did need an
Yeah, it's.
eyewitness on the ground this week
Yeah,
who had seen it raw in the
I
flesh.
felt like Ross Kemp coming on today
Like Bear Grylls, you're apparently
Yeah.
drinking your own piss by Sunday, I think, in the Vauxhall
No, I believe that was Blue Wicked.
Inn. But yeah, look, I suppose we'll let you what you think the Bowls are going to finish up this season. What's going to be the curtain's calls come November?
It's hard to tell, isn't it? Like, it's you're looking there and you'd say, like, second is definitely well within our reach at the minute. Like, I don't think any of the teams around us look much better than us. And we don't look like an elephant on top of a tree, like, where you're going to fall down any minute. I know, look, everything changes in football, like, nearly on a minute basis. Like, so if something happens in a game, it can nearly change our whole season. Like, I'd say Reece Brennan's goal and Tala, like, if he doesn't take that deflection, who knows what can happen? You know, like, is Reynolds gone off full time? Is, like, does everything change? You don't know. So I'd say second or third, I think, is with, like, a positive and probably realistic as well. I don't think we're challenged for the league. I think we're good enough to not leave, like, a European faith in the hands of the cup. I'd love a cup run. I don't know if I can take another Lansdowne heartache, to be honest. But I would like it. It's all part of the romance. The Sligo game is massive. And I know there's a few kind of first division fixtures there in the next round as well. So there's the chance of maybe even progressing further without having to play one of the big boys if we do beat Sligo. So yeah, look, it's a good cup run, and hopefully Europe is out of hands of the FAI Cup anyway. I think that would be, and like, if you look at where we were after 10 games, that'd be an unbelievable season.
Yeah, I think that's probably where we're looking forward. I think top two is realistic. Again, if Rovers end up in a cup final and we're second and we're not in that cup final, we'll unfortunately have to cheer on the hoops, the victory, to get that Europa League spot.
Yeah, it's never nice cheering on Rovers. Is it? I think it's had to happen a few times over the last few years where it's like the odd game, you have to cheer them on. It's not,
yeah,
maybe not cheer them on, but you know, a win would be kind of favourable from an objective standpoint. So yeah, that'll be, we don't want to be cheering on Rovers at any stage. So hopefully now we can just bring it home, close out games. So, like, I'm actually nearly happy that we're drawing games again, because there was a time this season where it didn't look like we were going to draw a game. And it's like, I feel like we have turned a few losses maybe into draws, where we've weathered storms and into Cork and in Derry and either, you know, held on or came back. Like, that's really positive. And I think if we did that towards the start of the season, God knows where we'd be. But look, you have to play the card you're dealt at this stage, especially with mention for the women as well, getting through to the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that.
Yeah, beating the L Reds in the semi. I heard they 5,000 down in Daly Mount, big march. So it's just sending packing.
Yeah, it was great to see 1,450 people in Daly Mount for the game. I know the final seems to be clashing with Sligo away, which...
real shame.
I know it's on TG4, but like, somebody just common sense approach.
Yeah.
Move the game to a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
move the game to 12 o'clock on the Saturday.
Give a crowd there before they go. Chance. Like, I think the women have absolutely, like, nearly for me, embodied what the club has been over the last few years, and the men's team hasn't been performing too well. The women have always given 100%, and I know, like, a lot of people would have been at the Palestine game and stuff like that. It was absolutely magic to be part of, to be honest. So all the best to them. Like, I hope, like you said, common sense prevails, because I think there is a lot of goodwill towards them. I think they'll do a good number there if they can kind of change it. Even, like, you'd imagine if it was a case where it could be played in Daly Mount on a Friday night, imagine the numbers you'd get. Like, if you put a bit of promotion behind, or even, like you said, a Sunday would be great. Like, it'd be a great start to the weekend if we could get it. So yeah, very lucky luck, and it was a great result for them.
Yeah, hopefully people get behind them if they can't get the Sligo that night.
Absolutely.
It's, again, they should be sorting something out here that isn't a clash. If it is in Daly Mount Park, that is, I think that much of the job was done yet. Who the home team was. Well, common sense, and ultimately be an open draw, common sense was put it on in Daly Mount, put it on when it's not clashing with the men, you know, you get 2,000 or 3,000 of it.
Yeah, even in, I don't know, if it was, had to be played in a neutral venue, if you had it somewhere in, I don't know, Tolga or Inchicore. I know people have travelled out to 19s finals and stuff like that in Inchicore and Tala. If it was somewhere like in Dublin where both fans could go, I think you'd get enough of goodwill to where you'd get a good number at it. It'd be great for the Daly Mount, but so it might have to be played at a neutral venue, which is understandable to an extent.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it'd be great to see a great number over.
Yeah, and before we wrap up, Cole, we need to get a full-time score on this Friday coming Daly Mount.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I knew you'd ask. I'm obviously going to go for a Bowes win. I think it'll be 2-1. I think they'll score, but I think we'll have enough in the end. I think Taylor will score if he's playing. And then maybe it's a double, or maybe it's a Clark goal or something like that. It's maybe the two former draw the boys are back to haunt them. But yeah, no, I think, like, you're looking to draw the team around us, the team that we can, like, play against at home, bigger pitch than up there, and yeah, the Talk Sport Arena or whatever it's called now, we should be more suited to playing up, like, against them down here. So hopefully it's a win. 2-1 I'll go for.
You know what, I'm going to go 2-0 Bowles. Ross Tierney to get a goal, Douglas James Taylor to get a goal, Bowles to come out 2-0 winners, passports get renewed. Everyone get the piggy banks out, start putting their few bob into every week, because the way it's looking for the League of Ireland, you get a couple of trips out of it, save your annual leave. No nonsense, no woke nonsense of 10 days in term lien, it's on a credit union loan. Save that credit union loan for 400 quid, do 2-day trip to Gibraltar.
I think Baz would be setting up a Revolut vault anyway, Frank.
Yeah.
Looking to get a bus to a stand.
Yeah, if you want to get involved in that, don't forget to DM Co after the podcast. You'll find him on Instagram, Connor O'Hannon. Anyway, Cole, as we do every week, we wrap up. Come on, the fucking balls.
Come on, the balls.
Cause we all follow balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we sing it again. I said, like,